Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the three main divisions of Stoic philosophy was what we translate as logic, coming from ta logike, which could also be translated as the art of reasoning, the art of argumentation, the art of using words, the art of thinking things through. So it's a bit broader than what we normally talk about today in terms of formal logic or even necessarily informal logic. As a matter of fact, it would extend to incorporate dialectic, rhetoric, epistemology, all the areas that are concerned with these sorts of issues. And there's a tendency when looking at Epictetus, and even when looking at what we possess of Stoic authors, to downplay this quite a bit and say, it's not really that important. Now, the Stoics did, in fact, make some major contributions in the history of logic, but Epictetus is not one of those people engaged in that. So why is he insisting in some of the chapters in Book 1 that it's really important for us to pay some attention to this? Or asked in another way, why isn't ethics enough? It's already a lot of work just to study ethics, to figure out how we should realign our desires and aversions and examine ourselves and change things here and there. Why do we have to focus on logic? And there's a good answer from a Stoic perspective, or at least several good answers that Epictetus is going to give us. And I'm going to conclude by bringing up a passage that's actually one of my favorites that talks about Epictetus himself as a student with his teacher getting chewed out a bit over this. But we'll come to that. That'll be the capstone. So if we look at chapter 17, he says that the rational faculty is the one that analyzes, that's a term, that's the way we're translating it there, diarthon, this is a participle, so it's the activity that it does. It's the one that can scrutinize, can examine, can render judgment upon the other faculties, and indeed everything that is involved in us. Doesn't mean that it can do it across the board, at all times, in a pure, luminous self-consciousness, the way that some people are worried about, but it can, in fact, when it turns its attention to things, it can think about them, and it can work upon them. This is a term that we've seen in other places, ex ergazamenos, ergen, or erga, is works, it's the tasks that are being done, it is deeds, it's another way of putting it. So the thinking faculty, the reasoning faculty, really is quite powerful. Now, how does it stand then with respect to that faculty? Does it just automatically work the way it should, sort of like plug and play software? No, that's not the case. It does need to be analyzed itself, and nothing else is going to do that. It's the reasoning faculty with a sort of reflexivity applying to itself that's able to do that. So how is it going to do that? That's where it becomes very useful to start looking at ta logike, at the art of reasoning, whether our reasoning is going well. Do we characteristically make improper inferences? If so, maybe we need to examine our own thought processes. Are we taking in information from sources that are probably not as reliable as we would like to think that they are? Why are we doing that? These are key questions. And ethics by itself is not going to provide the answers that we need. We require some sort of rigorous examination that's provided by the art of reasoning. Another issue that comes up in 1.17 and also in Book 1, Chapter 7, we need to examine and understand what Epictetus is calling the criterion. You notice that I've got it spelled with a K there. That's not a misspelling. That's just the Greek spelling for it. And the criterion means some sort of standard. It's translated as the standard, usually. Some standard for determining things. What are we trying to determine? Well, 1.7 makes this very clear. We need to develop the power, a capacity, for testing the true and the false, not just taking, oh, that's true, that's false. How do we know? How do we actually know that something that we think is true is true? How do we know that something that we think is false, and therefore is to be rejected? We need some sort of standards, criteria for that. Certain and uncertain. Modalities like that matter. When you're debating about what you ought to do in life, you know, what seem to be ethical issues, you're going to start ending up in quandaries where just having studied ethics is not going to be enough unless you accompany it with some logic. And the Stoics did do this in their training. We need to be able to decide between these things and be able to have good reasons for the decisions that we're making. And so, you know, Epictetus is going to say some interesting things like this. What's the professed object of reasoning? To state the true, to eliminate the false, to suspend judgments in doubtful cases. Is it then enough to learn this alone? Well, here's a comparison. Is it enough for the man who wants to make no mistake in the use of money to be told the reason why you accept genuine money and reject the counterfeit? That's not enough. What else is needed? Well, the faculty that tests the money and the genuine and the counterfeit and distinguishes between them. Well, that is, you know, the art of reasoning. When we say the art of reasoning, we're not just talking about something in a textbook. We're talking about a kind of comportment that can be built into a person's rational faculty and carried around with them. He says it's necessary to develop this power. What else besides this is proposed in reasoning? And then we can go on further, and it can get more and more complex. But that's at the core of it. He also points out in 1.8 that argumentation in the hands of the weak, those who have not trained their faculties, and those who are uneducated, can be quite dangerous. And you know, we see this all the time. People giving all sorts of arguments that on the face of them look to be decent arguments, decent lines of reasoning, but as soon as you examine them, you see the flaws in them. And yet those people don't see the flaws in them, and they think that they're good. And not only that, Epictetus says, they get all puffed up with pride, thinking, I really know stuff. And, you know, they become quite dangerous to themselves, and they become quite dangerous to others. So the art of reasoning really is important from a Stoic perspective. Now, what I want to close with is this interesting anecdote that he tells. He says, well, why are we still indolent and easygoing and sluggish, seeking excuses whereby we may avoid toiling or even late hours as we try to perfect our own reason? And he says, if then I err in these matters, I haven't murdered my own father, have I? And he says, where was there a father for you to murder? What then have you done, you ask? You have committed what was the only possible error in the matter. Indeed, this is the very remark I made to Rufus when he got on my case. I'm going to translate it as that instead of censured. He got on my case for not discovering the one omission in a certain syllogism. I said, well, it isn't as bad as if I burned down the Capitol, is it? And then he said, the omission here is the Capitol. Or are there no other errors than setting fire to the Capitol and murdering one's own father? Which is to make a reckless and foolish and haphazard use of the external impressions, the fantasia, that come to one, or to fail to follow an argument, or a demonstration, or a sophism. In a word, to fail to see and question and answer what is consistent with one's position or inconsistent. Aren't these error? Aren't these the sort of things that will lead us into all sorts of problems? You're right, it's not the same thing as killing somebody or burning down a building, but it is making fundamental mistakes. And those small mistakes in what seem to be inconsequential things, put them into the domain of ethics, they can get quite problematic. So it's important for us, if we're going to adopt this point of view, to cultivate the rational faculty and to do so in some sort of rigorous and systematic way. And that's what the Stoics actually did in their own practice.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.